Brothers are amazing, but they have this special ability to get the worst out of you, don't they? So I've got two older brothers and a younger sister, which for my sister didn't work out so great all the time. And our family, we've got two boys, two girls. And a brother can grind your gears like no one else. Hey, can I get an amen for that one? Yeah, thank you, thank you. I heard the story of a mom walking into the room where two boys, the two brothers, had been fighting for like half an hour. And eventually she just got in and go like, "Stop it. Who started the fight?" And the younger brother said, pointed at the other brother, said, well, he hit back first. And in that way, confessed his sin. That's what brothers do, eh? But they're also pretty amazing. So I've got, like I said, I've got two older brothers. My dad actually was married before and his wife passed away. So they're actually my half-brothers. We share a dad, but we've got different moms. And my one brother, Francois, is 10 years older than me. And so I grew up, when I was 7, 8, he was like in matric. And so he taught me how to play cricket. It was the highlight of my life. Coming back from school, he came back, and if we could play cricket in the backyard, that was like everything. I was just waiting for that moment that he would play with me. He also did have a way of riling me up. I can't remember exactly what it was. And we would have, like, even now, we'd have these conversations and be like, I'd be like, "Do you remember that?" I was like, "No, I can't remember any of that." But I love my brother. There was this one special moment where I was sitting with my best friend. I was 7 years old. And he was asking about my family because my brothers are so much older. So I was explaining it. And my friend said to me, "Oh, so he's your half-brother." And my whole little world caved in. I was like, "He's not my brother, he's my half-brother." And I went to Francia, I was like, "This guy says you're my half-brother." He said like, "What? That's nonsense. I'm your brother." I was like, okay. And everything was okay again. And Francia's become just a very special part of my life. He lives in Australia at the moment. We speak maybe once or twice a year, it feels like. But I think in December we had the phone call. And I knew it was going to be like an hour long. We spoke for 4 hours. And I didn't even realize it had gone that long. Jess eventually, like, I just had breakfast and she brought lunch. I was like, "What are you? Oh, 4 hours have gone." When I was studying in my second year of university, things were just like super, super tight. My dad had lost his job as well. And I didn't have enough bucks for about half of my studies. And it was halfway through the year. And students, you know the feeling. The bursar, that look the bursar gives you when your account is behind. And I knew my parents didn't have bucks. And my brother at that stage was up in Joburg working there. And I got on the phone to him. I was like, "I need so much money. Is there any chance?" And he didn't bat an eyelid. Lent the money to me. December came, I worked, paid him back. So brothers are, they can get you, but they're amazing, hey. And I think it's in part because you've shared the same struggles. Like in your home, whether it's like your parents giving you a hard time, friends giving you a hard time, you've gone through the same thing. And you can't fool your brother. Like he can cut through everything. He knows when you're not the way you are. If you come to your brother and say, "Here's some sweets, do you want to share my sweets?" He knows what's going on. He knows you're buttering him up. And there's something else coming. And he'll just ask you, "What do you want?" Hey. Buckley and Avela stayed together for a couple of years. I'm sure you've got many stories. And you've suffered through the same things, man. And there's actually a scripture on this, believe it or not. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. When the chips are down, like your brother is there normally. And as we're talking about the family of God, I know it can be actually a little bit sensitive. I had mostly a great family, but maybe you didn't. And I know that some of us maybe had very difficult family circumstances. But family is from God. And when we do it His way, it's beautiful. In Psalms, it actually says that God places the lonely in family. And so family is God's design. It's what He wants for us. And so we're going to look at a couple of scriptures that just kind of expound this. What does it mean to be Part of the family of God. Can we even be part of the family of God? Okay, so let's go to Mark 3, verses 32 to 35. So incredibly, Jesus was part of a family. He was an older brother. Now, I don't know what it's like to have Jesus an older brother, but I've got a feeling it would be a little bit frustrating. Because when the mom comes in and says, who started the fight? It's pretty obvious it wasn't Jesus. It must be so frustrating. Every little, Mary and Joseph just knew, okay, James, it was you, wasn't it? Yeah, it was okay. But yeah, Jesus was a brother. And his family, once he started going out and about, talking to people about the kingdom of God, healing people, his family actually thought he'd lost his mind. They thought he was a little bit crazy. And there's this cool story we're going to read now in Mark 3, where Jesus has a crowd around him, probably bigger than in this venue. People around him just wanting to hear. And let's read it. I don't have to give more than that. There was a crowd sitting around Jesus, and someone said, your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you. Jesus replied, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he looked around them and said, look, these are my mothers and brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Oh my goodness. This is so simple, but crazy. It's actually what David was praying now. Like, I love when he prayed. He said, like, it feels unfair. That's how it feels sometimes. Like, if you think, like, Jesus would say, okay, I know Mary's out there and James and Jude, but I look around here and I see people who love to do God's will. That's my brother. That's my sister. That's my mother. It's this fundamental shift in my whole being that I can be part of God's family. And Jesus is that introduction. Like, honestly, for me, growing up, God was quite intimidating. Like, when I thought about God, it was like, when are the lightning bolts going to come? Like, I know I messed up. Like, how do I even get to God? Like, but when I thought about Jesus, it was just a bit more approachable. And when I was 17 and really, truly decided to become a follower of God, it was Jesus that met me in a broken down hall in dispatch. It was like Jesus was there. I mean, I couldn't see him, but it was Jesus. And it's Jesus who's come into my heart. It's Jesus who's actually brought me to the Father and made the Father approachable and changed my perception of the Father being like a lightning bolt distributor to someone who loves me and accepts me. It's always Jesus. But there is a problem. If I just become part of the family of God by sneaking in, I'm going to mess things up because I'm messed up. So I've got a friend who many years ago decided to adopt a little boy who was, I think, 7 or 8 years old. And it's a boy who'd grown up on the street. And they took him into his home and he became part of the family. Immediately had some brothers and sisters, and it was messy. Like, mealtime was an event because this boy had grown up, like, if you see food and find food, you eat as much as you can. And so breakfast time would come, and he would just chow down as much as possible. And this friend of mine would just have to go like, whoa, slow down. Lunchtime, there will be food again. He's broken. He came from a broken background. And he was suddenly in a family. And listen, eventually things change over years and it's been a beautiful, beautiful picture. But if I just come into the family of God, it's messy. And so the entrance into the family of God is a lot more dramatic and I'd say even traumatic than we realize sometimes. Because the danger is we can go, well, to become a Christian, become part of the family of God, I can just add Jesus to my life. And that's not the picture God gives us. Okay, so we're going to look at a pretty radical picture Jesus gave. It's a famous passage in John 3, and it's where Jesus has been going around, and there was a group of religious leaders called the Pharisees, they didn't really like Jesus, and it seemed like Jesus didn't really like them either at times. Like, they definitely rubbed each other up a bit. And this one Pharisee called Nicodemus, probably like a slightly older guy. We don't know if he was tasked to go and see Jesus, or if, I think it sort of looks like something about Jesus appealed to him. And so he goes late at night because he doesn't want others to see him. So he like sneakily gets a meeting with Jesus. And he says to Jesus, well, we can see you from God. We look at your teachings, like, it's pretty solid. And we can see God is with you through the things you do. And it's a bit like that sibling that's handing out sweets up front, hey? And Jesus, being a good older brother, can see right through it. And listen to what Jesus says. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh my goodness. If you've been a Christian for a while, you've probably read that a lot. You've probably heard the phrase born again quite a lot, and it's become just like a normal thing for you. But put yourself in the shoes of Nicodemus. You're an older dude who's been serving God for decades, and here's this young 30-year-old dude saying, you've got to be born again. That was shocking. You must be born again. And you can see it in his response. So look what Nicodemus says. What do you mean? Question mark, exclamation, exclamation, probably. Exclaimed Nicodemus, exclaimed. I mean, so in other words, because we can have very pious views of Jesus. So Jesus says, you must be born again. Nicodemus didn't go, what do you mean? What? What do you mean? It was probably something more like that. And then he says, how can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And I mean, I'm with Nicodemus at this point. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. My mother's not even around. Like, this is going to be complicated. Like, what are you? Verse 5. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. So here's the thing. You can't become part of the family of God by pitching up for dinner every now and then. Growing up in high school, I had a really good friend, and he stayed about a kilometer away from our home. I love being at their home. They were a bit more well-off than us. And if I could go there and play some rugby cricket and stay long enough for supper, sort of felt like, you know, I'm part of the family. But I wasn't. I was still a Marie. And Jesus is saying, to become part of the family of God, something radical needs to happen. You have to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And then in verse 5, he expands it. He says, born of water and born of Spirit. And he's talking about, firstly, born of water, about baptism. So we have baptism, actually. Born of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit coming inside of you to fill you. So this is a big thing. And baptism is one of the ways we enter into the family of God. It's one of the ways we become born again. It's part of the process. So it's not just tagging something onto my life. Because baptism in Romans 6, Jesus says, you identify, or Paul says, you're identifying, becoming unified with Jesus in his death. So it's you saying, okay, Jesus died on the cross. So what Michla did last week, Sunday, she said, I'm messed up. If I come into the family of God, I'm not going to make it, and the people around me are not going to make it. I need to start over. I need to die. I need a fresh start. And so I'm going to die by going under the water. And then I'm going to come back alive. In the same way Jesus was resurrected, I'm going to come back alive. And I am born again. I'm a new person. I don't have to go into my mother's womb, Nicodemus, but I'm going to be a new person. And being baptized is repentance. And so Jesus is using dramatic pictures. It's one of the reasons, friends, I'm convinced that baptism and being sprinkled as a baby, it's not the same thing. I was sprinkled as a baby. Baptism and giving birth, you can almost see like the correlation, this going through. It's radical. Sprinkling is just like a couple of drops falling on you. You can't die from sprinkling. There's no danger. If you've been in a shower, you know you're not going to die from showering. Okay. But being baptized means I'm dying. In the faith, in the hope, in the knowledge, the conviction, I'm going to come back alive and knock my water over. It's radical. If you haven't been baptized, you can follow Michla and be born again. And then Jesus says, born of the Spirit. Now, this is something I think we overlook. You kind of go, do you want to become a Christian? I want to become a Christian. We pray, confess Jesus, you get baptized, and then you go on your way. And that's not the full picture of being part of the family of God. Being part of the family of God means Jesus needs to come inside of you. You've been washed clean of your sins. But you cannot do this on your own. To be part of the family of God, you're still going to mess it up. But when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, He gives you the ability to start living differently. It's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. And so conversion, becoming part of the family of God, is quite a violent process. When I say violent, it's not just adding something on. I'm saying this because there might be some here this morning, you thought you're born again. But hopefully as we read these scriptures, you might go, ooh, Chona, I'm not so sure. Or if you've never been born again, I'm hoping Jesus will work in your heart as we look at what it means to be part of the family of God. Okay, John 1, 12 to 13. Jesus talks a bit more about being born again. He says, but to all who did receive, John is saying this about Jesus. But to all who did receive him, Jesus, who believed in his name, here's a nice, John has given us a nice, easy thing to remember. How do we become born again? Part of it is believe and receive. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that he is risen again, that he is alive. Not just like as a theory, but as experiential. Believe that as he died on the cross, he forgave me of my sins. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive and cleanse me from it. I believe and then I receive. And baptism in water and in the Spirit is part of receiving, becoming part of the family of God. And then he carries on. Oh, wow. There you go. He gave the right to become children of God. I mean, he gave the right. And right is not just a legal claim, but actually the power, the ability to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So becoming a child of God, becoming part of the family of God, it's a massive process. It's a moment, but it's also a journey. And if you're part of this family, it's one of the best things, man. And I've been quite like serious so far. And it might even feel like this feels complicated. Like, how do I do this? Well, I've got good news. I've got a big brother. And your big brother is quite keen to help you. Okay, Hebrews 2, from verse 10. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. Isn't that cool? He chose to bring many children into glory. Like in God's family, there's space for as many as want to come. If you're sitting here and you're going, well, there's one sin. There's a sin that I don't know if God can forgive that one. He totally can. Jesus can forgive every sin and make you part of the family of God. And then it says it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. Now, here's the thing. A family situation can be pretty awkward if there's a witbroekie, like a favorite, hey? If there's one who, when everyone else gets their hand-me-downs, There's one of the siblings that always gets like new clothes. That's not cool, hey? And maybe if you've got brothers and sisters, it's probably like I'd say 90% chance you felt your brother or sister was a favorite, hey? And you were always struggling. In God's family, there aren't favorites. It says here that Jesus was made perfect through suffering. Was it this verse that says perfect? Yeah, a perfect leader. So Jesus came to earth 100% human, just like us. He was misunderstood. He was lied about. He was beaten. He was persecuted. He was crucified. He is not the Witbroeki, actually. So when Jesus, it says that Jesus, our brother, our big brother, he is 100% like us. He's also 100% not like us. And there's a bit of a mystery that we can't, a paradox that we can't fully explain. Because he's fully human and fully God. But we can relate to him. He is our big brother. In verse 11, so now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers. That is good news. So it means when the Father looks at us, if you're part of the family of God, the way he feels about Jesus is the way he feels about you. And we're going to see just now what he offers to Jesus is what he offers to us. It's probably the most scandalous, to quote David, unfair thing in this world. If I was a devil, I'd be going like, unfair, unfair. Romans 8:17. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. But Paul's saying, we've got a big brother, but we're brothers. We've got the same Father. We share the same Father. And the inheritance that belongs to Jesus is ours. Oh my goodness. Can I ask you a favor? If that is sort of something that makes you mildly happy, do you mind smiling quickly? Just quickly, just give me a smile. I know this has been also like a bit of a serious and happy message, but this is a happy part. I know it's a bit like mind-boggling, like inheritance? Like, okay, what is the inheritance of Jesus? Well, in the Old Testament, God says to Israel that God is Israel's inheritance. And the inheritance of Jesus is the Father. It was for the joy set before Jesus that he endured the cross. And he's at the right hand of the Father. So it means that we as co-heirs, as children of God, we inherit what Jesus inherits. And the most glorious thing probably is God. That we get to be with God. That we get to know his joy. That we get to know his forgiveness. That we get to know his acceptance. What Jesus has inherited is eternal life. He got a resurrection body. If you're over 40 like me, a resurrection body is sounding pretty good right now. Like I said, I played touchies with the guys. I thought Ethan was just like a normal guy, but he sidestepped everyone. Just to try and keep up with him was really difficult. And I woke up the following morning with some aches and bruises. It doesn't make sense. What is even tackle rugby? It was touch rugby. But my body's still in pretty decent condition, I think, at least. My wife thinks so as well. Thank you. But I'm going to get a new body one day. You're going to get a new body. A body like Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Cynthia. Are you excited about it? Okay, Cynthia's excited about a new body. It's going to be amazing. Jesus got a resurrection body. As children, we will get what Jesus got. A resurrection body, eternal life, closeness with God, no more tears, no more crying, no more sorrow. We'll be with God forever. But it starts now. It starts now. Like, that is one day when Jesus returns. But we're actually experiencing some of that now. The life of God, healing, The pleasure, the joy of being together. Here's part of the inheritance of God as a family member of the family and a brother of Jesus. One of the most beautiful inheritances that we don't appreciate enough. It's that person sitting next to you. Because a family of God is, all of us as believers, but it's a church, man. Like, I don't normally do this, but can you just turn to someone next to you, behind you, and say, like, hello, my brother, hello, my sister. Somebody, let's call him brother or sister. Nice. Some brothers and sisters. We need each other. We can't do this by ourselves. Here's the thing. How many of you grew up in a, and you were the only child out of Intersec? The family of God is not an only child family. Praise God. You can't do this on your own. You need your brothers and sisters. And some of you who are only children, there's some positives. You weren't irritated by a big brother. But you also missed out, man. The family of God is not an only child situation. 1 John 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is a Christ has been born again, born of God. And everyone who loves a father loves whoever has been born of him. Which means that brother, sister you just said now, hi brother, hi sister. If you are part of the family of God, you will spontaneously start loving that person, even though he irritates you. It'll start happening. Just sometimes you're going to have to choose it. But what a glorious thing. It really is. It does bring up the question, though. Like, if I'm not part of the family of God, like, what am I part of? Is there another option here? Can I be like, possibly like an only child? Can I come over for supper every now and then, but still enjoy what I'm doing separate to that? Like, I'll respect what God has done. I'll respect Christians. I'll respect the church. I'll come visit every now and then. But can I be me? This born again thing, it sounds pretty intense. And baptism and Holy Spirit filling. And this is just like a lot for me. 1 John 3, 8 to 10. It says, but when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the work of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning, because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. Do you see the stark options there? John is saying you can be part of one of two families. I mean, he says it there. You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. Whoa, but Eugene, hold on, like, I'm not like stealing and lying, sometimes lying, but not like all the time, and I'm not sleeping around with people, and I don't really cheat on my tests. Like, there's an option here, either a child of God or a child of the devil. But can I just, I'll sit on the fence. Someone said the fence belongs to the devil. For us, it's a stark choice. I can choose to be in the family of God by being born again, baptized into the family, born by water, born by spirit, believing, receiving. Or I can be a child of the devil. And those aren't my words. Those are the words of the Bible, of John himself. So this morning, there's a decision for each of us. If you've been a believer for a while, maybe it's actually just checking yourself out again. Did you believe? Did you receive? Were you born of water? And then especially, I want to put it out there this morning. Were you born of the Spirit? Is the Spirit of God in you? John does say, if we say we do not sin, we are liars. So we do all sin. But in this verse, it also says, if we keep on sinning, if you're stuck in the same pattern of sin, maybe there's a question. Is the Holy Spirit inside of you? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And the good news is, He wants to fill you. And secondly, if you've not been born of God, the Bible says you're a child of the devil. And you're going to have problems with your father somewhere during your life. But again, the good news is you can be born again. And this morning, Jesus is inviting you. Your big brother is inviting you. He's saying, will you believe? And will you receive? Can we close our eyes together? Maybe the music team guys can come up so long.